Hello, Romanus.
Hey, Davis.
How are you this weekend?
I'm pretty good, actually. I'm looking forward to a weekend of pretty great weather, you know?
I feel that. I mean, it's back right now.
And
that's not all that's back.
What else is back?
Movies are back.
You think so?
I do think so.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful weekend. It is the first weekend in May. Happy May to you and everybody else. And this year is flying by right now. And it's taken this long into the year for there to be what feels like an exciting period of time of movies being consistently released.
Yeah.
And that mixed with the very nice weather and just everybody kind of gearing up for a summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see where things are going to go.
Yeah, there's a we've talked about our movies that are up and coming that we're looking forward to. I still fantasize about going to see Superman. I can't wait to see it in theaters.
I caught the trailer for it again in front of Thunderbolts yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that trailer so much. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm kind of shocked that we haven't seen a newer trailer yet. And I kind of hope they don't release one.
Yeah, I don't need, I don't need to know anymore.
They will. But I'm like surprised by this point we haven't gotten that. But
yeah.
Hey, I'm here for it. It was a great trailer. I'm excited for Superman.
Superman, the new Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, it's coming out in a couple weeks. We're going to do a little bit of a recap, I think, for next week, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay.
So stay tuned.
Can't wait for that.
For everybody, next week we're going to be talking about a couple of our favorite Mission Impossible movies.
Yes, as we watch Tom Cruise try to commit suicide.
Every single time.
Every single movie.
I feel like he gets closer and closer to that goal every single movie.
Well, at least he's living his dreams, right?
I guess so. at his own expense and for our benefit. His life, our entertainment.
I have three movie topics.
Oh, goody.
Because you like this segment.
I really like this segment. I'd like to see this keep going.
Hopefully, you'll like these three that I picked out. Speaking of Mission Impossible, Lilo and Stitch and Mission Impossible tracking a sew up biggest Memorial Day box office in history. That's one.
I can see that.
Sinners sets IMAX 70mm re-release for May.
So I was going to choose that for a topic for you at one point.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Oh, so I guess I already know what you're going to pick.
Do you?
Well, third one, Avatar Fire and Ash has released photos of the movie. We will see Neytiri question everything in her grief in this movie.
What?
Yeah.
What? They released photos for it?
Yes, they have. And she looks sick, dude.
Fuck the other topics.
Really?
Like, when did these photos come out?
Today.
What? Oh, man.
4 hours ago.
See, I haven't been online that much, so
dude.
I missed them.
I mean, do you want to take a peek at my laptop and see?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
come
I do.
Over here.
I'm going to move over to Romana so
yeah.
get his laptop.
Just look at this. She's has this fierce face, and she has her bow, like, just, you know, she's about to shoot a bow and arrow. Like, it's sick.
Bro, that's a movie that's, like, coming out so far into the year, like, literally the last couple weeks of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like event movies that release around that time, the previous Avatar movie, we had, like, a new Star Wars movie coming out for, like, 5 consecutive years.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular portion of December always felt like the most fun for event films of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's, like, Christmas. Everybody wants to get together and go out and do stuff. They got a big movie coming out. And it still hasn't really fully hit me that movie's coming out this year. We listed it as one of each of our anticipated films of the year.
I think because there was such a long hiatus between the first Avatar movie and Way of Water, this movie, Fire and Ash, come together so quickly after Way of Water has us a little staggered, you know?
Seriously, I'm in disbelief a little bit because of it.
Like, exciting though.
Yeah, like off topic, I saw today that they I don't know if you how much you play video games, because I don't that often, but I saw that they officially pushed back the release date for Grand Theft Auto 6.
Of course they have.
And we all saw it coming.
Well, I don't play video games either, but I know I've seen enough on the internet to know that people are waiting for that game.
Oh yeah.
Every year.
I'm one of them.
Maybe for the last 2 years.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not surprised by that pushback. But that's kind of also why I'm a little bit in disbelief that Avatar is still coming out at the end of this year. I think it will, actually.
Mm.
Like, I don't not a lot is telling me that it won't, but I think I remember the first teaser for Way of Water came out around May on this in the same year that it had released in 2022, I think it was, in December. And it was a great teaser. It had like very little dialogue, great music. And now I'm just like, okay, so if we're getting photos, are we get a trailer for this soon? Maybe in front of Mission Impossible?
The CGI in these movies, just seeing the beads of sweat on Neytiri's face in this photo, sick.
Just beyond anybody's technical skill. I remember when I saw that first teaser for Way of Water, and there was just like a brief shot of somebody tightening a rope, and it was an insert shot of one of the Navi's hands. I actually thought they were real hands in that shot. And the attention to detail just in that shot, you can see like small scar tissue on the hands even. And it's just that attention to detail is what enhances the believability of it. But, and I can only imagine what James Cameron is going to cook up for this next one, because he's already released the runtime for it.
What's the runtime?
It's going to be like 2 hours and 10 minutes, or 3 hours and 10 minutes. Oh. So it's going to be roughly the same length as Way of Water.
And when I hear that length, I'm kind of jaded, because that length for just any movie would probably turn me off of a movie. But Way of Water was so good, and I was so entertained throughout the entire 3 hours that, yeah, James Cameron. Damn,
man. I think he knows what he's doing, and that's pretty exciting, because very often they'll release first stills for a movie, and then shortly after that, we'll see a trailer drop for it, so maybe in the next couple weeks, we'll get that.
I feel like in recent memory, especially for original IPs, for sci-fi, I just haven't seen a movie like Avatar have such great storytelling, especially on a family level, such an intimate level.
Like the second one?
Yeah, Way of Water just completely blew me away on each...
I agree.
Each level, like seeing the main character become a parent from, you know, the first movie to Way of Water. And they did set up a lot for Fire
this
and
next
Ash.
One.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get, like, Sky Navi and Fire Navi.
Oh, my God.
And that's the natural next evolution in an Avatar story, right? Cover all the elements.
Well, yeah, because there was, I guess, the first one would be Earth.
Yeah, first one's...
Second, Water.
Water, and now you got Fire and Air.
Fire and Air, baby.
So,
I am...
it's all coming together, and I'm like, I like this. This feels like a natural buildup. And I like the second one so much that I really do... forget about the first movie. I remember seeing it. I remember where I was, and I've seen it a couple of times in my life, but it is so inferior compared to the second movie, in my opinion.
Well, but remember, I never saw the first one when it came out when I was a kid.
In IMAX?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I missed out. The first Avatar was the day before Way of Water.
No kidding.
And I saw it like on my small TV screen in my room. Davis, I was fucking crying when the tree crashed down.
I mean, I cried. Like, it's an emotional movie. It is an emotional movie. And that's not my favorite part, but it's the most emotionally gut-wrenching moment in the movie to me.
Neytiri crying too. Like, the women in the tribe screaming.
I just think that the second one has a little bit more of an interesting plot to me than the first one.
Sure.
And a little bit more original for that reason as well. And obviously, you can't beat the visuals.
Well, the first movie, narrative-wise, we've seen movies like that before where, like, Outsider comes into this tribe, initially trying to, you know, be a part of the colonization, assimilate, and then falls in love with the culture and then fights against their own people. Eventually, like, it's Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, Ferngully, whatever.
Dance with Wolves, right? Right, we've seen that before. Way of Water, I feel like I haven't seen a movie like that.
Me neither. Same. And
on a technical level, especially, like, narrative,
the movie
sci-fi.
Is more about its love for nature than the first one is, than about love for culture, which I think is what the first one is about a little bit more. And it's not that the quality of such storytelling needs to be compared in terms of those themes. I just like the second movie's execution of that theme a little bit more than the first one's. Well, I'm hyped to know that we're finally getting some marketing push on the new Avatar movie.
Man, I thought I did bad with these three picks, but obviously,
No, not at all. These were all really good ones.
Perfect.
If any of them remain relevant, save save them, and you can just kind of reuse them, and maybe I'll pick one of the other ones going forward.
I got you.
But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
Not at all.
So, from both of us here, my name is Davis Leaf. I'm here with my co-host,
Romanus,
and this is the Loose Leaf Media Podcast, and today we are here to talk about Marvel Studios' latest film, Thunderbolts, asterisk.
I have a summary I'll read before Please. We dive into it.
Please.
After finding themselves ensnared in a death trap, an unconventional team of anti-heroes must embark on a dangerous mission that will force them to confront the darkest corners of their past.
So, the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, this is a really reminded me of Suicide Squad. It definitely
there was a couple moments where I was.
Well, I mean, if we're being honest, Marvel and DC have copied each other. If
you 100%. Look at their main,
like Thanos and Darkseid are the same person.
It all kind of boils down to how much do you really care?
We don't.
Yeah, right?
Show us a good movie.
Is it a good movie? Am I going to enjoy myself? That's what matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, you saw it very late last night.
I saw it at midnight.
Yeah.
Damn.
I miss those. I miss when movies would intentionally release their films at midnight for the first premiere, and you just get the first comers that would show up.
Yeah.
Not even reserve seating and anything. And that was a simpler time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, shit's gotten a lot more expensive. People want to go to the movies more often, you got to have as many available show times as, you know, the studio will allow for and for theaters to be able to administer. So here we are. Movie dates will be set for something like March 2nd, as this one's is, but the first showing that you can go to for it will be at like 2 or 3 p.m. the day before.
Yeah.
So, and you went to it very late last night. I saw it at about 6 p.m. last night. Large crowd people turned up for this one, which was great. It was great to see it. And I just think I'm riding a huge high right now from Sinners, because Sinners really just felt like it just breathed some real life into movies for the year, as everybody kind of collectively is feeling these days. I mean, the movie's literally pushing Thunderbolts out of the theater in a couple weeks just to get itself back in. And I think that's going to be great. And I think it's apparently already sold out a lot of its IMAX screenings for 70mm in a couple weeks from now. I didn't see Thunderbolts in IMAX. Usually I would go and see a Marvel movie like in a large format screen, but I was like, I'm hungry. I'm going to go to the draft house and get some to eat.
now I want a beer. What the hell?
I had a beer too.
I hate that you just said that.
And it didn't dismantle the experience whatsoever. People were still having a good time, it seemed like, and so for that reason, what did you think of the movie?
I did not like it.
You did not like it?
I did not like it.
Okay.
Mind you, it's not like I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't hate it as much as the first Suicide Squad.
Oh, no.
Because I did start to, like, put it on that sort of spectrum of the first Suicide Squad movie and the second Suicide Squad movie that with Idris Elba that I did enjoy. And I think you liked it quite a bit, too.
Oh, I love that one.
And I would say that it's definitely not as bad as a Joker with tattoos on his face and shit.
Yeah.
But it feels like another Marvel throwaway. It felt quite vapid, even though it was trying to pull on the audience's emotional heartstrings with a specific character that we'll get into.
Yeah, we'll get into a lot of those things.
But a lot of the performances are pretty good. I think that Florence Pugh and David Harbour really stand out. And I think that Julie Louis-Dreyfus as Valentina Allegra Fontaine.
Whatever her name is.
Right, she's basically the villain in this movie.
Basically.
But she reminded me so much of her character from Veep that I was like, I was really enjoying it because Veep is probably my favorite show.
I've seen her perform as this character a few times in the MCU at this point. And there's never once where I'm thinking to myself, she's playing this character.
Right.
It's like, it's almost like she's kind of trying to be like the anti Nick Fury in a lot of ways too. Yeah. But Sam Jackson felt like Nick Fury
Absolutely.
When he was playing Nick Fury.
Yeah.
granted, people know who the character, the comic book character of Nick Fury is far more than they do with Val in this film. But every single time I'm watching Julia Louis-Dreyfus play this character, I'm just like, that's all I'm watching. Julia Louis-Dreyfus play this character.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's not, you know, funny and adding a lot of levity to the movie. It's just like, she doesn't seem like a person that should have this much authority.
No.
Which is actually a pretty big debate throughout the plot of the movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, well, yeah. She doesn't seem like she takes any of this seriously whatsoever.
No. No, this movie got really high ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Like, the audience score is 96%. The critic score is 88%.
Yeah.
I'm kind of lost where people are seeing the quality. Maybe it's not as bad as Captain America Brave New World, but what do we expect out of Marvel movies that aren't Avengers movies? Because I feel like the quality of the offshoot Marvel movies, especially Marvel movies that are attached to a show, I feel like there's just a tier list of the quality to expect out of a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the barrel is the ones that are connected to the shows.
Sure.
We've seen that with the Captain America movie. Now we see it with this movie. And honestly,
it's a hybrid. It's a very strange hybrid of like the connectivity of the movies and the shows too.
And I just remembered that unless you've seen the Black Widow movie, you don't know Florence Pugh's character or David Harbour's character.
That's like true.
Yelena, who's Black Widow's sister, and then Red Guardian, who's the
surrogate father.
Yeah.
And then you got Wyatt Russell as U.S. Agent, who, if you haven't seen Falcon and the Winter Soldier,
exactly,
you wouldn't know who that is. And that also goes for the character of Taskmaster too, who
Was
also
forgot.
Only well.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but, I mean, Bucky's kind of obviously the character that's been around the longest in this. But
and speaking of, if I can cut you off really quickly, feels like Bucky didn't do shit in this movie besides the one clip in the preview where he bumps a car into the air with his arm.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the momentum of the car would have still killed you, because it's not like you're made out of steel. Only your arm's made out of steel, buddy. But anywho, Davis, what did you think?
So when I walked out of the theater, I felt very conflicted. I was just like, I don't fully know how I feel about this movie. And because there were parts of it I liked, and there were parts of the movie that I just felt like could have been done better. So I really wanted to take a little bit of time for like the next day up until this moment to really gather all of my thoughts. And I think conclusively, I enjoyed this movie. I think it gave me everything I would want and expect from a Marvel summer blockbuster, but also traded some things in for some things that were better. And a lot of that, I think, boils down to more of the technical elements of this movie for me, where I'm like, going into this movie, I don't know. Oh, wow. Thunder. I don't know or really care nearly as much about the quality of the plot, because I've just kind of learned not to put too much emphasis on going into a Marvel movie with those expectations, and thought, how are they going to make this movie feel a little bit more fresh and separate from other Marvel movies? And as I'm watching the movie, within the first half of it, I realized, you know what it is? It's good chemistry between the characters, which I was really enjoying from start to finish. And holy shit, the action set pieces were really blowing my mind in this movie. I thought the action set pieces were fantastic. And a lot of it boils down to them not just using practical effects, but most of the cast does their own stunts from start to finish in this movie. And it kicks off perfectly with that quality. Just the first moment with Yelena, and she base jumps off of this building.
Yes.
And they make the shot fully last, and she's actually doing that shit. Florence Pugh is. And the wide of it looked fantastic, and I was like, this is cool. And that follows up with like this hallway fight scene that's all from a bird's eye view perspective, and these shadows that are all over the ground. And I'm like, this looks really cool. And I'm like, I don't think I've seen good stunt work in a Marvel movie like this that actually wants you to be able to see the stunt work being performed in a very long time. And from the jump, that was very refreshing. And I could pretty much assume what the plot was going to be just from seeing a trailer for this movie, which was like, okay, group of, you know, rejects coming together and trying to stop something big that's probably going to end up destroying the world. And that's what the movie was. But I think they also added a little bit more thematic depth to that plot than the average Marvel movie would give you as well, which I was appreciating too, because the villain itself is a manifestation of depression, essentially. And as somebody that is constantly exhausted from work, a lot of the biggest theme of this movie is also workplace burnout, which I was very much enjoying that theme from start to finish. And I just haven't seen a Marvel movie in a while that actually wants to exist based on its themes. So for all of the technical and the technical elements, the good acting, and great production value that was going into it, it's still a pretty standard Marvel movie in terms of like what the characters are, what the objective is of the characters, and what the catharsis of all of them really is. But I think it's a great summer blockbuster. I don't think it's a waste of time going into the theater. I think it gave me everything that I wanted to get out of it. Good action, fun character dynamics, great production value, great stunt work, great set pieces. I enjoyed it. But I would agree, it's not the best Marvel movie I've ever seen. A lot of things could have been done better. Some of the dialogue could have been a little bit better from here and there in the movie. Some characters could have had a little bit more development in this.
There's
like a good four characters in this movie that I felt like had good development. Florence Pugh, she's great. I really enjoyed David Harbour. I also agree with that. Wyatt Russell.
Yes.
As a U.S. agent.
Yeah, he was very good.
I thought he was very good in this movie. And surprisingly, Lewis Pullman.
As Bob. Played,
yes, Bob. Which is a whole bit throughout this movie.
Yes.
But I thought those four performances and development of characters were solid. And I remember Ghost Ava from the second Ant-Man movie, where she was the villain from that. And I thought Hannah John Kamen's acting was really good in this movie, and she banters with the other characters a lot, but nobody ever once stops to ask, like, what is your deal? You know, you're just you're phasing through stuff, and the last time we saw her in this universe, she wasn't able to control that. Now she is. She's a super assassin, and nobody ever once asks about her backstory in any regards, or and it never needs to come up,
because
there's a very particular scene in which we get a little bit more depth on U.S. agent's like backstory and what he's been dealing with since Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and it was good context for the character and his behavior. But it's like, you could have easily just done something similar with Ghost to give her some more development, but she's just kind of always there in the movie.
And she has such a cool power.
And she's such a cool character, too. And I'm like, can we expand on her and everything that she's been doing since this a little bit more? You're kind of wasting a pretty solid performance from Hannah John Kamen right now.
I think it would have been worth it to make the movie another 5 or 7 minutes longer to give her some development.
Just for her, at the very least.
Yeah.
Because then you pretty much have all of your Thunderbolts or whatever developed decently at that point. With a couple exceptions.
Because the emotional side of this, and it is, like you put it very nicely, the workplace burnout, right? You see how, like in the movie, Florence Pugh, Yelena's character, Florence Pugh's character, Yelena, she's going through like a crisis of identity. Where she's tired of being a mercenary, working for Val, and
she's doing the same thing single time.
And she,
there's even a moment, a set piece in which she's calling every single maneuver that her opponent would make and how she would respond to it because she's so tired and bored of doing the same shit. And I'm like, this is fun. This is good.
Yeah.
I like this.
And she even says to Val, I'll do this one last favor and then I got to do something, you know, maybe more rewarding, right? She has a conversation with Red Guardian, that's her father figure, and he talks about how the last time he was happy was when he was helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Yelena is jaded, but you get the sense out of that conversation that she wants to be in a position to, you know, help people.
Yeah.
Of course, she's a murderer, but I guess we all can relate to workplace burnout.
That's the thing. Capitalism it's like, sucks. It's really trying not to let you think too hard about the horrible things that a lot of these people have done. It doesn't let you forget.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, for the most part, trying to characterize them and humanize them a little bit. Because mm-hmm. this is a team-up movie, a Marvel team-up movie. But it's probably the most grounded team-up movie that they've ever done.
Sure. Again,
like, as opposed to an Avengers movie or a Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's like, these are, like, just basically street-level crime fighters here.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it is literally the characters just boots on the ground doing stuff.
Well, speaking of boots on the ground, there's one scenario that they're all in where it'd be helpful if they had a hero that could fly or maybe had super mm-hmm. strength. But none of them... have those powers. So
the way they get out of that is yeah. one of the better moments for me in this movie.
It's
because it makes it the scene last.
Yeah. I will say that the first act of the movie I did enjoy. Right.
Setup
especially
is great.
Yeah. Especially mm-hmm. the action that the first act sort of mm-hmm. ends and then goes into the second act where yeah. the team is like all together in one yeah. place. The action was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the actors were doing their own stunts.
Mm-hmm.
It's very violent, but you're seeing all of their different fighting styles.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're obviously professionals. They obviously know what they're doing, but they're also like quipping. Like
the first fight between all of them when they first meet in that vault space, awesome.
My favorite part of the movie.
Great stuff.
My favorite part of the movie, for yeah. sure.
Great choreography and just the way that it is unveiled slowly yes. as to why they're all there. It's very satisfying.
And then, they do have great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funniest relationships in the movie is between U.S. Agent and Bob. Like,
yeah.
They just do not like
they
each other
hate
first
each
time they meet
so
each other.
Much.
And really for no reason, right? Mm-hmm. They just met each other. They
but
have no other reason.
U.S. Agent is like very much established as he's just a douchebag.
Yeah.
He's just a complete and utter douchebag for mm-hmm. almost no reason. Until you get a little bit more of a context as to why he is that way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not context to why he's that way, but I think you see the character see himself
mm-hmm.
and you see that reflection that, oh, I've been really unfair to my family.
Yeah.
And, my behavior is not only affecting my working relationships, but it's ruining the only relationship that I actually do value.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually tugged at my heartstrings. There's one point yep. in the movie where someone they just talk about his family and like
yeah.
uses his family background to like take him down a notch. And that's the first time that he doesn't quit back. Like you mm-hmm. can see in his facial expression, like that was, you know,
literally that comment, my whole theater went, damn.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause you know, it kind of, they got personal.
No. Yeah. It did.
Yeah. You're taking the gloves off if you're talking about a man's kid and mm-hmm. wife. So
you better have a reason, I guess.
That was effective. I really did, man. David Harbour as Red Guardian probably stood out the most to me in this
he
movie.
He is the comedic relief in this movie.
Yeah.
He's the levity, but he sells every moment of it. And he even has a couple really touching moments in the third act of this movie with Yelena.
Sure.
And his range of acting is solid from start to finish in this movie, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. For me, the stuff that starts falling apart in this movie mm-hmm. was actually a cool action scene. And it's when Bucky appears in all of the action and violence. The scene where he shows up, great action set piece.
Oh, the highway chase?
The highway chase.
That's my favorite set piece in the
movie. It was dope,
mm-hmm.
but that's when the movie starts falling apart for me.
How so?
The third act, like, I don't even know, Davis. I don't know what I was expecting from this movie. I wish I could have used more action.
Sure.
And I don't even know where I'm going with this. I feel like Bucky, who's now like a junior congressman,
yeah, or whatever,
and he's trying to lock up Val mm-hmm. for crimes against the country,
yeah.
and you know, doing all of this covert missions that are not within the best interests of the country. And it feels like for the first, you know, 2/3 of this movie, he's just in the background on the phone talking to Val's assistant.
So he has, he's the highlight of one of the best set pieces that we just mentioned, the highway chase sequence. But he's probably the least interesting character out of all the Thunderbolts in this entire movie.
Thank you.
And I do definitely agree with that. There was never a moment where I'm thinking to myself, ooh, when's Bucky going to appear again? Ooh, and I'm like, actually, I don't really care. I kind of like the camaraderie between the core Thunderbolts that we have that we're seeing on screen right now. And when Bucky comes in, he's just kind of there.
Yes.
You know?
Like, he's not really their leader.
No. He has, you know, they give him a little bit of the new background with him being a congressman and everything, which is slightly set up in the Captain America movie that had just come out. But, and they try to go somewhere with it, but then he just kind of goes back to doing Winter Soldier shit. And then I'm just like, was there really any purpose to that?
No.
Like, I get the whole concept of, like, maybe a character wanting to move on, but if that was the idea, then they didn't expand upon it nearly as much as they should have. Especially when you get to the very end as to where he ends up. And I'm like, why didn't you just have him doing, like, not necessarily doing the same shit that he's always been doing, but just kind of doing him, you know? Why did you have to set up such an interesting plot point of him being a congressman and then go absolutely nowhere with it? And to me, overall, that was one of the things that didn't make entirely the most sense to me anyway.
Well, I mean, we'll get into this in spoilers, but definitely...
There's a lot of spoilers to talk about in this movie.
I just almost want to go into spoilers now.
I mean, we can. Like I said, let me take a gander at my notes here.
Sure.
So, yes. In terms of some of the other technical aspects, I really did appreciate this movie's visuals a lot. I thought the cinematography was gorgeous and had probably the best color palette I had seen in a Marvel movie in years. All of these, like, grays and browns. There was a very distinct look that this movie had. And they had a very particular colorist for the color grading named Tom Poole for this movie, who I'm not familiar with their background of work, but I watched a little bit of a behind-the-scenes thing about how he was kind of trying to picture this movie. And a lot of it had to do with the neutrality, kind of the characters. And cinematographer was Andrew Droz Palermo, who has done movies like A Ghost Story and The Green Knight, two movies that very much enjoyed as well.
Yeah, Green Knight.
Both of those had very distinct color grading to them as well. And I like the look of this movie. I think visually it's just one of the better looking Marvel movies I've seen in years. And I really appreciated the effort there for that reason. And I guess it'll be a little bit easier to go into some of the thematics of this film once we get into the plot.
Sure.
Or the spoilers. So, I mean, I think this is a fun movie. I enjoyed going to see it. Good action set pieces, fun characters. And you talk about expectations, and I think that's... I don't know what your expectations were exactly for this movie.
I mean, fair enough. I didn't have expectations, right? Because besides this podcast, I probably wouldn't have even seen this movie. But yesterday, before I went to see the movie, I saw, damn, it's got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, like, I'm getting my hopes
kinda up. Kind of getting excited.
Right? And I walked away, I'm like, I this is maybe one of the rare movies where I don't agree with the critics or the audience. I mean, is it 30%? Whatever that metric means, do I think that it's a F? No. And I mean, again,
at the end of the day, those metrics only really matter to the industry themselves.
Right. I mean, so maybe on my scale, like, it definitely is not as bad as the first Suicide Squad, where I was in shock that I hated this movie. And definitely not as disappointed with that movie. Definitely not as disappointed with Thunderbolts as I was with the first Suicide Squad movie. I think, really, I see the potential on screen with this cast of characters. I did like the chemistry between the characters. The writing kind of suffered, or maybe not suffered, but just the writing just wasn't there for me. And
if anything, I just think it needed more expanding.
It could have used another 20 minutes.
Like, the plot itself isn't, in my opinion, isn't bad. It's an interesting enough plot. It's just like, I think it needed a little bit more breathing room. But at the same time, I see an argument to say that this movie's paced really well, too, because it keeps moving.
It does keep moving.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really waste a lot of time, because it's just over 2 hours.
And the other thing, too, is it gives the characters enough time to, quote-unquote, bond. Like, they hate each other for most of the movie, but see them problem-solving. You see them trying to work together. Yeah. You see them frustrated. You see them...
And you get the sense that they just don't have a choice. Right. Like, none of them would ever choose to work with one another. No. And like you said, like, for the first half of this movie, they're just, like, at each other's throats constantly.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, I guess we gotta work together here. Which is, you know, a pretty typical thing, but it feels very natural in this movie.
There's one moment where Yelena fucks something up, and then U.S. Agent says, fuck Yelena, I gotta do everything by myself. And it's just, you know, like, yeah, U.S. Agent definitely is probably the most annoying character from these guys. Mm-hmm. He's the, you know, bro.
Because he's a douchey frat bro.
Right. Yeah. But, like, even he has his moments where he's like, dude, be a professional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, you recommend it.
I'd recommend it. If you just want to, you know, it's I think it's worth it. It's fun. It's a fun movie. I was never watching this movie overwhelmingly feeling like anything was really that stupid. Like, it's a competently made action movie with good characters and good production value, in my opinion. It's not the greatest movie I've ever seen, not the greatest Marvel movie I've ever seen, but I think this is a good example of a fun summer blockbuster. What's that line from The Studio?
Oh, which one?
This is definitely the best version of the very, 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 very middle of the road version of this film.
Oh, I love that show.
That's kind of me too.
That's a good show.
I think that's the best way I would describe this movie. Okay. It's like, this is the best version of the very middle of the road version of this movie.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I can tell because there's never a moment in this movie where I don't sense that they are really making an effort to make a fun, good movie. And it's a good movie, but more importantly for Marvel standards, for me at this point, it's good enough.
Yeah, but
I felt like I got my money's worth.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a $180 million movie.
Yeah, I can tell.
Really?
But a lot of it, I mean, like, practical set pieces aren't cheap.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the way they were blowing up tanks and shit.
Yeah. Like, when that fucking limo flipped over, I was just like, this is sick, actually. Yeah. These set pieces are fucking sick.
It was not CG.
Most of the movie is, like, not using a lot of visual effects. It all looks really good. And, my expectations were pretty much, like you, I didn't have any expectations on, like, quite frankly, they're pretty low, but... Once I caught wind a couple weeks ago that this movie was going to be doing a lot of practical stunt work, I was just like, I'm really into that because these are all grounded characters and that's the way it should be. And they could have easily taken the route where it's just like they're using a lot of superimpositions and visual effects just to make the character seem like they're good fight, you know, coordinators. But they actually are doing their own stunts and you can tell.
Yeah.
It looks good.
The issue, I'm getting nervous now because it feels like we've strayed too far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with characters that we aren't as familiar with. Like,
I know what you mean.
Right, yeah. Like, Yelena and Red Guardian, okay, you're headlining the movie, but...
Like, pretty much Bucky, all of these characters are post-Endgame established characters.
Yeah.
And...
Not great.
It just depends on where your investment has been since then. But I was doing some thinking to myself after this movie came out, and I was like, there have been 12 movies that have come out since Endgame
in
this franchise. But I think what the real lesson to be learned there is that we should probably stop comparing movies to the quality of Marvel from before Endgame came out. Because when I was thinking back to a lot of Marvel movies, I'm like, there's a lot of movies before Endgame that are not really that great either.
Oh, that's fair.
The bar was just set high for spectacle in terms of Marvel when Endgame came out, not necessarily for quality.
Yeah, I guess it depends, right? Like, I'll watch any good movie, but it does help when you know, if I'm comparing bad movie to bad movie, I'm probably going to take the bad movie with Thor instead of the bad movie with Scarlet Witch. You know what I mean? Like, just...
kinda.
When okay.
I'd rather watch this than pretty much any of the Thor movies.
Oh, well, that's fair. But, okay, Age of Ragnarok?
Oh, Ragnarok's the only exception. That movie is a masterpiece.
Well, the other one, I don't know. I just... I miss when I would go see Iron Man in the Hulkbuster suit and Hulk fight. I'm like, fuck sure. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what I paid my money to see.
Sure.
You see Thanos and Captain America fight. Yeah. Just, they, and I guess we're going to get some of that with the Fantastic Four that's coming out soon. We're going to see the Thing
that's the thing. It just depends on how much you really care about these, like, which characters you care about, and that dichotomy between caring more about the characters you're seeing or the quality of the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm officially at this point just somewhere in the middle. The draw, I'll definitely be drawn to a group of characters that I know a lot more. But if I'm interested in watching a good movie, and the movie with the characters I know versus the movie with the characters I don't know is the worst movie, I would still rather watch the movie with the characters I don't know.
Well, I'm going to say on that spectrum, I'm leaning more towards I am starting not to care. They need to pick it up. And I mean, they did announce the lineup for Doomsday.
Yeah, which, yes.
That looks sick. They looks got like Magneto.
Looks like a lot.
And I want to be overwhelmed.
I don't know if I do.
Really?
No.
No, I want to see this shit.
The funny thing is, Infinity War is my least favorite of the Avengers movies.
Sure.
I think that movie's just too much.
Bloated.
I mean, the characters are great, and like what they are able to accomplish with that movie is really impressive and everything. But when I think back to that movie, I'm like, that movie's a lot. It's a little too much.
Well, there's ways to have a big cast and still make an interesting narrative.
I agree.
But, I mean, these at the end of the day, well, I don't know. There's other reasons why people come. Like, they like the storylines. I'm more into the action. I want action.
Really, these movies are popcorn flicks at the end of the day. Like, you don't really have to... Who cares about the plot, really? If it's a good plot, it's a good plot, and that just enhances the movie, but... Who cares? I want to see some fucking action. Yes. Okay. Well, let's get into spoilers. RIP Taskmaster.
That was shocking.
That was
and
shocking.
She got shot in the face.
I kind of laughed. I was like, damn.
I kept they waiting really for her to come back.
They just same. They just cooked her immediately.
She gets shot in the face, and I kept waiting for her to come back. She's played by Olga Kurylenko.
Yeah.
And she was...
She's a Bond girl.
Yes.
Yeah, she's from Quantum of Solace.
She got... introduced in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the Black Widow movie, and people were upset that Taskmaster was a woman.
I didn't give a shit.
I wonder if this was their way of, like, maybe, okay, we're going to get a new Taskmaster and it's going to be a
part
man.
Part of me felt that way.
Yeah.
She got the Slipknot treatment from Suicide Squad.
Oh, God. Oh, you're so right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's damn.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. I was just like, wow.
But Slipknot dying was funny, and it played a point in the narrative where I will fucking blow your head off if you fuck with me.
And Taskmaster got the same treatment.
Well, damn. Oh, fair. And they just let it go.
Like, nobody brings it up again. No. Really. Well, I think Elena was a victim too or something, which she was.
Ghost kills Taskmaster, who was like the villain in the Black Widow movie, and no one can beat him. And then Ghost kills her with a headshot,
and it's just like, what?
Yeah, just out of nowhere. And then
it's like, because it would make more sense if none of them were able to really beat each other, because they're all relatively at the same skill set, which kind of seems like it's trying to be the point at first, because that fight scene is so good and everybody just keeps besting one another, but nobody can actually get a kill shot on the other person.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Ghost just kind of comes out and shoots Taskmaster in the head, and I'm like, how?
that fight scene, again, like, now we can talk about it. It was a cool part how, like, they're meeting up, and during the fight, they're figuring out, oh, we got set up, but they're really not getting to it. And I'm so, like,
duh.
Right, like, as Ghost is trying to...
They're all, like, trying to keep an eye on each other still. Yeah. And, like, kill what... Like, you're still my target. I'm like, how do you guys not immediately register that this is a setup to kill all of you?
Yeah. Well, maybe... Because they're not bright. They are hired guns.
That's true.
And they will just... That is true. You just point them at an object, and they will destroy the object.
They're tactical, but they're not tacticians.
Yeah. They're not taskmasters.
Nope. Well, neither was she.
Yikes.
She did not master any tasks in this movie.
And, of course, that's the scene where Bob is introduced. He just falls out of a crate. A
coffin or whatever. a silicone sarcophagus.
And he's in, like hospital scrubs. And, you know, he's very skinny.
Yeah.
Brown-haired, scrawny white guy.
Yep.
He seems friendly.
Yeah.
You know, guy that you
hey, Bob.
See at school. Hey, Bob. And they're annoyed with him because and they're skeptical of him because they don't know how he's appeared in this locked concrete room.
Yeah.
And
he's very meek.
Yes.
And presumably unthreatening for that reason. Louis Pullman does a really good job of presenting himself as like very meek.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bill Pullman's son.
No shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn. Rest in peace to Bill Pullman. Man.
Did he die?
I'm pretty sure Bill Pullman's dead.
He's not dead.
Oh, God. Did I just screw that up?
Oh, I hope not. I'm going to be really sad. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Oh, no. Bill Pullman is alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
You know who I was thinking of? Damn. Who's the guy from... he was in Tombstone and Twisters,
Kiefer,
I think.
Sutherland. Or, no.
Jesus.
No, Val Kilmer. Excuse me.
No, Val Kilmer is definitely dead, but that's not what I'm thinking of.
You said Tombstone.
No, other guy in Tombstone.
Sam Elliott?
God damn it.
Oh,
no.
Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton, yes.
I think Bill Paxton.
We got there.
We just killed, like...
It's kind of a lot of dead people.
Four white men in a row. Yeah. Well, yeah, Bill Paxton and Val Kilmer. How is Sam Elliott still alive?
How the fuck is he still alive?
Not that I want him to die, but...
Me neither.
Wait, hold on. You want Sam Elliott to die? What's
just,
the matter
I mean,
with
I would I just... I'd like to have Val Kilmer back and healthy, you know?
That
so
guy,
if there was a trade.
Such a... For as many movies he was in, I still think he's, like, a very underrated leading man in
Sam
Hollywood.
Elliott?
No, Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Right? I was going to say, Sam Elliott?
Especially, especially in Tombstone, man. Fucking Val Kilmer killed Tombstone.
He's great in that movie. Man. He's really good in that movie.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
I like Val Kilmer.
That's a movie we should review one day, Tombstone.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've seen more people talking about it these days. Anyway, yes, Louis Pullman is Bill Pullman's son.
Okay.
And he's really good in this movie. I really enjoyed his performance.
Yeah, he was very played it very well. Mm-hmm. And now we're in spoilers. We can talk about
Bob. The Void Sentry.
Sentry, who is basically Marvel's Superman.
He is.
But Sentry, he's like psychic too.
Yeah, he's like every Superman power plus psychic powers. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just, I mean, get Jean Grey and combine her powers with Superman. And that's
I like how Sentry. He's officially a part of the Thunderbolts now, though.
Yeah.
And the last we see him, he just continues to come off as the most unthreatening person.
He's sitting in a beanbag, and he's reading self-help books.
He's like, and he's eating chips. Yeah.
And he's like, I cleaned the dishes.
Yeah. And I'm like, this guy could do it all himself, but he's just like acting like he's the freaking housekeeper in the back.
He could make up, apparently Sentry can kill Thanos.
I'm sure.
Just, yeah, they're... In the comics, that's the comic book lore.
Yeah, I only ever saw him appear very briefly once, and he didn't really do anything. So
maybe that's his shtick, right? That like he's almost like a glass cannon.
Yeah,
where he has all these superpowers, but he is such emotional turmoil that it's difficult to control those powers.
It's like he's the most powerful pacifist in the world.
I did like the transition from when we find out that Bob is Sentry, where like everyone shoots him at the end of the
when they get out of the
compound scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the bullets don't pierce him at all. He's not affected. Mm-hmm. And he discovers that he can fly. He shoots up in the air and his body is just like in free flight. Like he's mm-hmm. dangling. He can't control his flight. And then yep. he just gets up to like this high altitude and he's so shocked by his own powers that he just faints and yep. he just falls to the earth.
Yep.
And you know, create like just crashes through the ground.
A huge crater in his crash.
That sort of discovery of his powers was awesome.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, no. And
I love the visual on the void.
Yeah, just him being dark and
fucking awesome.
And you can
and just like pinhole eyes.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is one of the coolest visualizations and characterizations of a villain I've seen in a Marvel movie in a long time.
Yeah.
Coming right off of everything they did with the leader in the Captain America movie. Dude,
Bumpy Johnson.
Like this. Yeah. This was a breath of like the most fresh air. Like I just stepped into the rainforest.
Mm. Well, this was definitely better than the leader.
The leader.
Captain
America.
Captain America. And he's changing outfits between different scenes. Like, but he's supposed to be like traveling between Virginia and DC. It's like, yeah. So you went from like, you know, this fisherman's outfit, and now you're wearing a hoodie. You look like a gamer.
Yeah.
And you take off your hoodie in the middle of the hospital where Captain America is, and you show the bumps on your fucking head.
Just
and,
in broad daylight.
Yeah, then he's wearing a suit the next scene. It just, I don't, the costume. So
what is the fashion, like, consistency with him here?
Maybe he's so insecure about his head that he's like, let me overcompensate by just changing my outfits like Diana Ross or
whatever.
Something.
You know, Diana. Okay.
Have you seen the Diana Ross concert?
Yes, I mean, I've seen, like, videos of it.
She's hot.
So... Yes.
I love Diana Ross.
That's
upside
true.
Down, you're turning me.
Giving him Give Diana Ross. Giving all you Diana Ross from Romanus, ladies and
upside
gentlemen.
Upside down.
So, I actually do want to mention something I was enjoying is Thunderbolts is also kind of a DMV movie.
Is it?
Yeah. Like the first like two-thirds of it, well, first half of this movie is like taking place in a lot of different sections. They go to McLean.
They do.
Virginia at one point in this.
That's another reason why it reminds me of Veep, because there was a lot of Julia Louis-Dreyfus in limos.
That's true.
The first part of this, with her in the
limo
in
this movie.
And if you watch Veep, there's a lot of shots of Elaine in the... I called her Elaine.
Elaine. Fucking...
Val Lane.
What's the president in Veep's name again?
Oh, fuck.
Sabrina or something?
No. Serena? No.
I don't remember for some reason.
I was just
Selena.
Watching
it.
Selena.
Is it Selena?
Yeah, because it's Need Selena Now or...
Okay.
Yeah, something
Is
like
it
that.
Selena?
It's Selena.
Okay, what's her last name?
I don't remember.
I'm not going to look it up right now.
Yeah.
But this was kind of a DC movie, and those limo scenes in Veep... are kind of like the equivalent to the dinner scenes in Curb Your Enthusiasm,
yes.
where it's just like iconic moments
yeah.
and crazy stuff is going to go
yeah,
down
yeah.
if they're there. But yeah, we maybe it was a slight homage to her character in Veep mm-hmm. in Thunderbolts, which I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were all over DC. They were going to Virginia. They were talking about how Baltimore is only one street over, which I got a really good laugh out of that. And I was like, this is a DMV movie. I'm loving this.
Also, the Captain America movie this year was a DC movie.
Exactly.
That was
big
heavy.
Year for Marvel DMV movies.
The Hulk was destroying the cherry blossoms. Imagine you're enjoying the cherry blossoms and then Hulk jumps
Red
in.
Hulk,
yeah.
who is the president,
yeah.
just comes down and is like, nope.
Man,
not for you.
That'd ruin your day.
That would fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Maybe the Fantastic Four will also go to DC at some point. And then we can have a trilogy of DMV
sure.
Marvel movies this year.
I'm sure they'll find a way. Well, speaking of,
yeah.
in the last cutscene of this movie, there's a ship that is flying. Well, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, that's we don't have to really just break this down.
Okay, fuck
it. It's just the Fantastic Four ship.
It's the Fantastic Four ship that's coming down.
Which would have been, sure, it's cool, but it would have been really cool if we didn't know that this was already happening, you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, back in the day when you went and saw Iron Man 2, and you wait for the end credits, and you see fucking, what was it, Agent Coulson, go out to this crater in New Mexico, and he's just looking down at this crater, and the camera just pans backward and reveals Thor's hammer, just stuck in that rock, cut to black. I didn't know that. I didn't know we were about to get Thor next. My mind was blown at that moment. Like, we know this is happening already. So it's like, when they put these teasers in there, sure, it's good setup, but you're not giving us anything we're not expecting, you know? And so as cool as it is, as a fan, it's that kind of fan service that just makes me feel like, I feel like an idiot for actually waiting through the credits.
Yeah.
I mean, like, did the Fantastic Four appear? Did we get to see them? No. We just get a very extended epilogue sequence with all of the Thunderbolts or the new Avengers now and all their drip. And that's the most entertaining part of the end credit scene, is just watching them banter some more in the Avengers Tower. And then they're like, oh, ship's coming out of the orbit. Oh, it's the Fantastic Four ship. The end. It's like, all that, like another 7 minutes of movie just to get to that reveal that we knew was going to be happening anyway.
All I can say is that, in their defense, because the Fantastic Four movie is coming out in like 2 months, it doesn't feel as bad, right? Like, if I had to wait another year for the Fantastic Four movie, then I'd be like, well, what the fuck is this?
It's building anticipation. There is no anticipation that needs to be built, because they've released like 3 trailers for Fantastic Four, one of which actually, I saw in front of this movie.
You know, in a way, they're kind of ruining the end of the Fantastic Four movie, because now we understand that the Fantastic Four are going to have to, for some reason, go from their universe to another universe.
Which, you know, Avengers Doomsday, I would have expected that to happen too. But that's part of the problem too. It's just like, it's not revealing anything new or fresh that I can't just already assume for myself. Half, like, a large majority of this franchise writes itself.
I mean, yeah, they're comic book movies.
Exactly. But they're not, with something like that, they're not really breathing anything fresh into the comic book genre of films. So it's like, the movie comes out in 2 months. I saw a trailer for this movie before this came out. Obviously, the Fantastic Four are going to be involved in this and somehow, because the next Avengers movie comes out in a year.
This movie, it feels like there's nothing to get excited about, because I'm not really in love with any of the characters. It's not like when I watched the first Iron Man movie into the second Iron Man movie, and then I see Iron Man in the Avengers movie. It's like, oh, I'm seeing Iron Man in all these different contexts. It's exciting to see Iron Man. Not really looking forward to seeing Guardian fight with the Fantastic Four.
Red Guardian. Oh, Red Guardian.
Yeah. Or U.S. Agent. Sure. Like, just, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to really have an impact for me in the next few movies. I think, honestly, we just have a bunch more Hawkeyes at this point.
That's true. At this point, like, I'm more interested in just watching these characters interact with one another more. Because I really, again, other than the just unnecessarily ham-fisted Fantastic Four promotion at the end of the end credits scene, I liked them talking with one another, recognizing, so we're Avengers or some shit now, and they're all just so nonchalant and don't care. They have like new outfits with like a new Avengers logo. The credit, even like the first credits before the mid credits, do a really good job of playing that up with all of these like tabloids kind of responding to their announcement becoming the new Avengers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is pretty funny. This is fun. This is clever. I like this idea. This feels like something that would actually happen in this life.
So we some kind of new Avengers?
Literally. They're just like, okay, they're doing this now, and they have to pretend to be the Avengers just for good optics. And I'm like, that's realistic. That makes sense, actually.
Well, even on the Wheaties box, like the one of the final cutscenes is David Harbour playing Red Guardian. He's just in the he's not in his uniform. He's in civilian clothes, and he's in a grocery store, and a woman is like in the cereal aisle. And it's just Wheaties. And he's like, hey, like, you want to get these Wheaties?
And she's, then he puts it right by his face.
It's just weird because this guy just has no savoir-faire. Like, he just has no social skills.
She takes it to be polite. Then you see her walk down the aisle and just set it down
and runs away. Oh, God.
I got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah.
But, cool. Cool. I mean, I guess that just summarizes the movie. Just walk out of the theater. Cool.
Cool. Yeah.
What other spoilers are there in this movie?
Are there any spoilers? Not really.
I mean, the biggest spoilers are just have to do with really how it ends.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have Sam Wilson making his own Avengers team, so I guess...
But I don't think they're a part of it.
No, yeah, it's separate.
Because, like, in the end credits, Bucky said that they talked on the phone, and he's like, I want nothing to do with y'all.
Damn.
And I'm just like, psh, damn, right?
That would be a cool movie where, like, you have these two different Avengers teams. One's just, like, you know, very well, mm-hmm. you know, put together yeah. team led by Sam Wilson. The other yeah. one is just these mercenaries. Yep. Led by Bucky, and seeing if they could work together. That would be...
See,
I'd be into that.
Maybe that will be part of the next movie, though, too. They're, like, deconstructing the dichotomy of, like, essentially what being a part of this team actually means.
Maybe...
Because the new Avengers are now the, like, the marketable face of the Avengers for America. Mm. And then you'll probably have characters that were former Avengers, like Sam Wilson or, I don't know, like, Doctor Strange, Black Panther... coming in and just being like, so we're getting together over here. Do we really have to have anything to do with the new Avengers? Mm-hmm. Do we bring them in just because we have to? Mm-hmm. Or do we just go and fight Dr. Doom on our own? So I'm assuming that the next movie may have some sort of a contrast that's set between them.
Yeah, but again, this what the hell is U.S. Agent, which is not a great name. I wish he could get a different name, but whatever. U.S. Agent.
It's not a great name.
What is U.S. Agent going to do against Doomsday?
Isn't he, like... He's Captain... Doom. I mean, he's Captain America.
But the whole point of him, his character, is that he's not Captain America, though.
Yeah, he's the knockoff Captain
it's
America.
It's Dime Store, right?
Dime Store Captain America. Dime Store but Captain he America. Still has the same amount of powers and... Roughly oh, yeah. The same yeah he's the he still has roughly the same amount of skill.
Hmm. Not the charm.
He does, but like it, like that's the thing. It enhanced a lot of the bad qualities of himself, mm-hmm. the super soldier serum. So, you know, he's just douchier
yeah. now.
I don't know, but it was interesting. It's an interesting way to leave things off. Not exactly where I expected it to leave off.
I say all of this. I'm also indifferent about this movie. Like I'm not recommending it and I'm not discouraging people from seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of do whatever you want with it. I honestly think that if you don't see this movie, you'll still probably be able to enjoy the Fantastic Four movie and you'll probably
that's if this is better.
Oh well, that's very true. I mean, look, like hopefully they know where to put all of their eggs, right? That or the majority of their eggs.
Yeah, well, fourth time's the charm, right?
Ugh.
Well, this was fun. I had fun talking about Thunderbolts. Mm-hmm. And we've had another Marvel, and it's over now. So let's move on.
Yes.
Let's talk about Mission Impossible and shit next
Thank
week.
Thank God, yep. Yes.
The real action's coming in here.
Yeah.
Watch it be worse.
No. I mean, the idea is that I'm going to choose my favorite Mission Impossible movie, yes. You're going to choose yours, and then yes. We'll review both movies.
I can't wait. Stay mm-hmm. tuned, everybody. That's the plan for next week, so I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know whatever your thoughts were on Thunderbolts, if you see it or don't. We don't care. But anyway, we love you all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Loose Leaf Media. My name is Davis Leaf. Did this with my co-host,
Bob.
I'm going to call you that the rest of the day now.
Yeah.
And we will see you guys on the next one. Happy summer.
Bye, guys.
Take care. We'll be right back.